Would you pray with me now? Loving Father, we come before thy throne at this time. We give you thanks and glory and honor. We ask that you be with us as we study thy word, Father. We know that we need thy help and strength and guidance in all we do and say. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Two of the man's most inexcusable and unforgettable shortcomings have to do with the subject of thankfulness. I guess that our ingratitude of heart and our failure to express our gratitude and thankfulness is two of the things that we fall short in more than perhaps anything else. The Apostle Paul, in several of his writings, indicated that our attitude should be one of thankfulness always. And Jesus taught on the same subject. You remember in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, there is recorded an incident where the 10 lepers, when he was up in this area of Samaria, 10 lepers met him, and he healed all of them, you remember. He told them to go and show themselves unto the priest, and as they were going, they were healed, and one of them turned around and went back to give thanks. And he asked, where are the nine? And only one, he says, is there none that has returned to give thanks to God, but this one, and he was a Samaritan, wasn't even of the Jewish people. Those that the Jews considered dogs and unclean, that one returned to give thanks. We have to recognize, I think, that this both grieved Jesus Christ and pleased him, at least, that this one Samaritan would turn back and give thanks. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, Jesus said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving with supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. In every prayer, there should be included that thanksgiving, supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 5 and verse 20, Paul wrote, giving thanks always for all things to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. His desire is that we learn to be thankful, and we have an attitude of thankfulness at all times, under all circumstances. I'm afraid that so many times in our world today we are prone to look at the many negative aspects of life and to zero in on those negative aspects, those minuses of life, and we think about those and become a negative type of people. And that's easy to do. But there are so many wonderful things that we have that are things going for us. And we need to always recognize the things for which we should be giving thanks to God. Notice he says, in everything, give thanks. And that's in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Ephesians 5:20, he said, giving thanks always for all things. That everything. These passages seem to clearly teach that God's children are to be constantly filled with gratitude and thanksgiving to God, and that our lips should be expressing the gratitude in word and thanksgiving and praise to him in season, out of season. We should have a heart filled with thanksgiving and praise to our God at all times, under all circumstances, in all situations, in everything. Now, you know, it's very easy. It's not difficult at all with reference to those things that we consider good. But now, you know, some of the things that we think of are good are not good at all. And sometimes we're very deceived about those things that we think is good and wonderful things that happen to us. They may be the worst thing in the world that could have happened to us. And we consider our eternal good and our eternal salvation. But most of those things we think of good as being good, it's easy for us to give thanks for those things, isn't it? We give thanks for God's mercy toward us, don't we? The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 12 says, "O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you have comforted me. Though we were lost in sin, and God's wrath abided upon us, and certain eternal destruction awaited us because of the anger of God, yet in Christ his anger is turned away, and we can have forgiveness. Your anger is turned away, and we find comfort." He says, "You've comforted me." We find hope. We find joy in being in Christ. And then he says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Jehovah the Lord is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." Our God loved us so much that he gave his life for us, dying for us that we might be forgiven. No matter what else life brings to us, we can rejoice in that hope in Christ Jesus, that God loves us, though that he's no longer angry with us. We're no longer separated from him. Now we can rejoice in that. And as I mentioned this morning in the sermon, I'm afraid sometimes we may become complacent about that and not value that salvation as we ought to. Then there's the salvation of others. That's wonderful. We can rejoice in that. Paul rejoiced in the salvation of the Romans. In Romans 6, "God be thanked," he says, "whereas you were the servants of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered unto you. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." That's something to rejoice in. Oh, that there's nothing that brings heartache to me to see someone turn away from the Lord, someone who's been serving the Lord and to fall into sin or fall into association with a person or with people or a crowd that leads them astray from God. And to see people, maybe they just start out missing assemblies of the Lord's church, and not studying and not growing, and as time goes by, they completely fall away. How sad that is to see that happen. And how wonderful it is to be able to rejoice whenever people turn their lives around then. And thanks be to God that whereas they were the servants of sin, that's something we can rejoice about. There's not anything that ought to bring us as Christians greater happiness than to see people repent of sins, to see those that were either unfaithful or who were not Christians to begin to serve the Lord. I just told one of our young people tonight, I won't call their name by embarrassing them, that I was so happy to see them attending all the services and being here at every time. They said to me, they found out it doesn't work the other way. That's the only way to make it work. You want to grow and you want to serve and you want to live like the Lord would have you to live, then you need to get in there and do it with all that there is in you. Because it's very difficult to serve God half-heartedly. So we rejoice in the salvation of others. Also, we can rejoice in the growth and victory of other Christians as we see them grow and develop and become faithful servants of the Lord. Again, we could talk about those in this congregation that we see doing that as people continue to grow and to develop and to serve the Lord. Paul, the apostle, found that brought great joy to him as he wrote letters to the various churches where he had worked, where churches that he had established and tried to teach the gospel. Like to the Thessalonians, he said, "We are bound to give thanks always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." Sometimes God gives us tribulations just beyond measure. It's encouraging to see Christians bear up under those tribulations, to stand strong and not become discouraged, not fall under the influence of Satan and the world about them. It's a great struggle in the world in which we live today. We need to recognize that faith and growth that we see in other Christians and be encouraged as a result of it. Yeah, he says, we give thanks because their faith was growing. Their love was growing. They were developing in patience. Well, we can also be thankful for the nearness of God, for God's love, for his interest in us. What would life be like if God did not care about us? If the hairs of our head were not numbered, if he was not ruling all things together for the good of those that love him, if we couldn't have that faith in God and know that he was near, that we could but speak and his ear hears, his ears is open unto our prayers and his eyes are over the righteous, wonderful to know that our Heavenly Father cares about each one of us in that way, and that he's near to us. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul preached on Mars Hills there, he was telling the people how that God was not far from them, but in him, he says, we live and move and have our very being. Our lives are sustained each day by his power. We totally depend upon him. For life itself. How we can be thankful to him. Jesus Christ then, the ruler of heaven and earth now. When he sent his apostles, the disciples out to go preach the gospel to all the world, he said, lo, I'm with you always. Always. It's not a time that he's not near us. There's not a time he doesn't care when we hurt. We can be thankful for that nearness. And then in passage, one of my favorites in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. How can we give thanks for that? How can we praise God enough? You know, sometimes I feel like that I'm standing here with a little thimble. All of you people know what a thimble is. Some of these young people might not know what a thimble is, you know, if they haven't learned about sewing or anything. You know, a little container about so long, supposed to put on your, you put it on your thumb or your finger. Where? I don't know where you put it, but you put it on there to keep from being stuck by a needle. And sometimes I feel that I, and maybe many of us, are like standing here with a thimble under a waterfall, just pouring down blessings, God pouring blessings upon us, and I've got this little thimble, and I'm trying to catch all of the blessings and favor that he bestows upon me, and I just can't contain it. I can't appreciate them enough. It just seems like it all falls away, and I can see that there's so much more, how much more appreciative I should be. How much more understanding, how much more the wisdom should be that I should have, how much closer to God I should be, that I can't carry any more in my little thimble. How thankful we need to be. And then we need to be thankful that when we come to the end of life, and you know none of us knows when that's going to be. You know, we make plans for the future, don't we? I keep trying to get my wife to talk to me about long-range plans when we're going back to Africa. Maybe some of you are making plans for retirement. Some of you are making plans for marriage. Maybe some of you, young couples, may be making plans for a new baby in the house. I don't know. We make all sorts of plans. But you know, we never know what those will be fulfilled because we never know how long life's going to be. I may never get to go back to Africa. You may never get to enjoy your plans because we may not live that long to enjoy those plans. But praise be to God 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He says, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" We have the victory over death. Jesus Christ says, "I have the keys to Hades and to death. I am he that was alive and am alive. And behold, I'm alive forevermore." Was dead, he says, "and behold, I'm alive forevermore." We can have that victory and we can give thanks every day that we live. All of these are things we should be thankful for every day. You know, sometimes in our little thimble, I think we only see the food and the clothing and the shelter, you know, and the comforts and the air conditioning right now, you know. We appreciate all those immediate little blessings that we can carry in our thimble, and maybe we don't see all the wonderful blessings with which God has blessed us. What about even our prosperity and our ability to help others? We have opportunity to help flood victims. We saw last Wednesday night the opportunity that we had to help with the boys' home at Westview, and we can't begin to appreciate some of the problems that those young men go through, and the broken homes and so forth that they come from, and the crime and the streets in which they live. But we have opportunity to help others. What a wonderful opportunity that is. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I've got the New International Version here. I just want to read from it here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where the Apostle Paul is trying to encourage the Corinthians to give, to help the poor saints that are down in Jerusalem and Judea. And he's talking here about this giving when he says, and well, begin reading in verse 12, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12. He says, "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." He says, what you're doing is causing a lot of people to give thanks to God. "Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your salvation of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else." No, it says men are going to praise God because of your generosity, because you shared with them. And, you know, Jesus himself said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. There is nothing that brings more joy to the Christian's heart than being able to give to someone that's in need. And sometimes, you know, we think about things that we'd like to have and how good it'd be to have those things, but, you know, it's even better to sacrifice and go without those things and give somebody else something that they really need. You'll find more joy in that than having all the gadgets and things and so forth that, you know, that we'd like to have. And then the next verse here, he says, "Accompanies your salvation, your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else." And notice verse 11. Here's what I wanted to read, verse 11. "You will be made rich in every way." King James says something, but you'll be enriched. This is the idea. You're going to be made rich, enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. We need to praise God and give thanks that we have prosperity, that we have where we can give to other people. Surely no human heart can be so cold as to see and to meditate upon all these gracious blessings that God has given unto us, and be so cold as to fail to be thrilled with gratitude and thanksgiving to God for all that he's given unto us. And so he says, in all ways, for all things, to give thanks. But what about those things that we call bad? Well, those are the good things, aren't they? What about the bad things? He said, in everything there could be. Our text says, in so many words, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is the will of God. It's God's will that we give thanks for the bad as well as for the good. Thus, it is God's will that in everything, good or bad. Now, what about when we suffer? or we suffer for righteousness. Are we trying to serve the Lord and people are persecuting or belittling or making fun? Well, Jesus said one of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. God's people have always been persecuted. The world has never received God's people, never received Jesus Christ. We identify with him, with the prophets of old, when people persecute us. And so we should be thankful. Thankful for persecution? Yes, persecution might be the very thing that we need. Rejoice, he said. Be exceedingly glad when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. What about calamities and misfortune? Losses, sickness, war, death of loved ones, and you could go on and on. What about those bad things? I think this calls for an unfaltering faith in God, who knows all, who has all wisdom, who is all powerful, who is all loving, who is all just, all merciful, and all interested in everything that happens to us. He overrules all things together for the good of those that love him. That's the promise. But you see, we must have a faith in God that whether it's bad or good, it's right and good for us. Whether we consider it bad or good, it's good for us. It's good for others about us. If we have that type of faith in God, that he knows what's best, he'll give what's best, that he still cares, that there's not a sparrow that falls but what he doesn't see it, that the hairs of our head are numbered, and that he works all things together for our good, then no matter what happens to us, we can rejoice. Give thanks. God's still in control, and he's still working out his will for the good of each and every one of us. What about wrongs, maybe, that other people inflict upon us? What about Joseph, whose brothers hated him? His brothers were jealous of him, so much so that they wanted to kill him, did sell him to the Ishmaelites, who took him down to Egypt, and there he was put in prison. Didn't God care what was happening to this man? You'll remember later on, whenever he faced his brothers and revealed himself to his brothers, they were humbled and bowed down before him, and they were afraid that he was going to punish them. But he told them not to be afraid. Why? He says, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good, to save much people alive. God was working his plan. Our faith must be in a God who through evil, who through calamity, who through death, who through hardship, draws us closer to him, and who teaches us what's right and wrong, who disciplines us. Oh yes, yeah, sometimes when we suffer from our own sins. Who of us hath not suffered from our own sins? Hebrews chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says, if we're not partakers of discipline, then we're bastards. We're illegitimate children. We're not his sons. Because he disciplines us for our profit, for our good, that we might be partakers of his holiness. God's got a purpose. All that he does, working all things together for the good of those that love him. What about whenever Satan tests us and Satan tries to lead us astray? Well, in the first place, we need to recognize, James says in James 1, verses 13 through 15, that he says, let no man say when he's tempted that he's tempted of God. For God does not tempt any man with evil. God cannot be tempted with evil and does not tempt any man. But each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust. Satan couldn't do anything if we were not drawn away by our own lust. Each man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust. Lust, when it has conceived, brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished or full grown, brings forth death. So if Satan tempts us, It's because we have that weakness within ourselves. But notice verse 12 of the same passage. James 1 verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. And then in the first chapter, he said, in verses 2 and 3, he says, count it all joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience or endurance have its perfect work, that you might be complete, lacking nothing. Even those trials and temptations can be good for us, can make us stronger. As Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 5, verses 3 through 5, he says, we glory in tribulation. We need to try to change the thinking of our world. And the thinking of the world is, if you're being persecuted or if you're having hardship or difficulties, you know, that means that God doesn't like you. Isn't that the idea? You know, sometimes if the weather's bad or something, not the weather doesn't please us, people begin to think, boy, we must really be bad. No, that's not the case at all. God uses whatever he needs for his purposes the whole times in all situations. Sometimes those things that happen to us that are trials and difficulties and tribulation is just what we need. God's shaping us and making us and trying to teach us. We must listen. There is no experience that can be found in the Christian life, whether it's good or bad, sad or glad, in which the Christian may not and should not give thanks. Give thanks to Jesus Christ. Give thanks to God through Jesus Christ. Because each thing that happens to us, if we depend upon him, we trust in him, will be for our good. In everything, give thanks. That's the faith with which we need to live life. That needs to be an attitude of heart and mind that we carry with us constantly. It helps us to overcome depression. Help us to overcome discouragement. If we will trust God and know that he is with us in all that we do, and that everything that happens can be a blessing, and we should give thanks for it. Are you a child of God this night? If not, it would bring forth so much rejoicing and thanksgiving if you were to become a child of God this night. God's working for your eternal salvation. Are you a faithful Christian this night? Depending upon God and trusting him in all things. Submissive to his will. Being obedient to him. Faithful in attending the services of the church. Faithful in studying of his word and prayer. And honoring him in all that you do and say. If you're not, it would bring forth great rejoicing and thanksgiving on the part of each and every person here this night. If you turn your life around. You're subject to the Lord's invitation. We invite you to come now while we stand, while we sing.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home.
Please pass your attendance cards to center aisle. And let's turn to page 195. After singing the first and the last verse of this, Brother David Coleman will dismiss us.
How sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those that love the Lord in one another's peace delight and so fulfill the word. Love is a golden chain that binds the happy souls above, and he's an heir of heaven who finds his bosom glow with love.
Lord, we come before thee now at this time, bowing before you, praising your name. We pray that our worship this evening has been pleasing in thy sight. We thank you for the fine lesson Mark has brought. Be with us now as we go to our separate homes. Bring us back to the next appointed hour. Be with those who are traveling. Help them to have a safe journey home. Be with those who are sick. Help them, if it be your will, to get better and rejoin the congregation. Forgive us for our many sins. In Christ's name we pray.